Good morning to each one. Moses prayed for those of us that are endeavoring to share God's word this morning, and I appreciate that very much. I felt the need for prayer, and thank you for that prayer. And I was also very blessed to the words that you shared. You made a very good introduction to what I want to share. God's been working in my life, and difficulties that happen, struggles, maybe everyday things, maybe spiritual things, to where Satan tries to attack us, tries to discourage us, and just get us to look on the dark side of things, maybe. And maybe things happen where we wonder what's God trying to tell me? Or what's happening? What doesn't God know that I didn't need this? Can He see? And so I just wanted to talk about those things, and I feel like the Lord is working in my life in this area. And not that I've made a big progress in this area, but I'm just encouraged that God is working. I'd like to read this verse in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I looked up a few of the words there. Rejoice, the definition for rejoice is to be cheerful, glad, to rejoice. And then he also says to do that always. And that definition is continued, regularly, always, ever. And so that's a challenge to me to consider rejoicing always in everything that we face, whether it's when things are going well, or whether things look dark, or if it's just the normal happenings of life where it's not really, you know, a challenge maybe, but it's not really just going real good. It's just an everyday thing, and we just take things for granted maybe that it's just going the way it should go. It's not hard to rejoice when the sun is shining in the blue sky, when there's enough money to go around. We can look in our lives, in our children's lives, and we see growth there. That's encouraging. We can rejoice. We can see what the Lord has done in our hearts and lives. We're thankful and rejoicing and praising the Lord. But sometimes we can see things in our children's lives that point to maybe inconsistencies in our lives, and that can be disheartening, that can be discouraging. But it seems like many times God has used these things to show me that I'm maybe still trusting in my own ability to make things go the way I plan. But we can rejoice and know, we can rejoice and be encouraged that God is working, if we can see those things and be encouraged. Giving in to discouragement instead of rejoicing puts us in bondage and gives Satan power in our lives. Then I'd like to look at some verses One verse is in Romans 12:12. It's about rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The reason God calls us to rejoice is because our hope is in Him. The more I studied this, the more I saw that there's a reason that He asks us to rejoice. We have a lot to... It's not just these things that are happening. It's because of what He's done for us and the hope that we have in Him. I'd also like to turn to Luke 10:19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I had to think that... If I think about the power that He gave His disciples here was an amazing victory or an amazing power to do this. But He's saying that they shouldn't rejoice in that. They should rejoice at their names, that the reason God is giving them that ability because they're in Jesus. So that gave me a lot to think about. And then going back to Romans 12:12, in the last part of the verse, it says to continue instant in prayer. How quickly do I pray and surrender when I face circumstances or everyday challenges or just whatever's happening in my life? I find myself trying to come to a solution, try to figure this out, and just, you know, try to make this work and think, okay, what other options do I have here? What could I do to make this work? And then I realize, well, what is God trying to say? And it just, if we can surrender, I'm just talking to myself, if I can surrender and just give it to God, it seems like there's a peace there, that maybe there's something in this that I can't see. And it's a very real challenge for me to do that. But we can rest in Him. We looked at several things here why we should rejoice. The first one was God working in our lives. The second one was that our hope is in Him. And the third one was our names are written in heaven and our salvation. And then the fourth one I'd like to draw our thoughts to is that we have a lot to be thankful for. And that's, I've maybe already mentioned that, but about just taking things for granted, maybe even. I'd like to read just a short account of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. And it maybe doesn't really necessarily mention rejoicing there, but I think there was rejoicing there. So it was Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I believe he was rejoicing there. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? So I'm not sure why they didn't come back to Jesus. I'm thinking that surely they were thankful. Did they think they deserved that? And they just didn't think about thanking the Lord, thanking Jesus. I'm not sure what happened, but it just made me think of maybe taking things for granted. That's something that I do too much. Even maybe being able to come to church and sit here and worship and listen to God's word, it's something I take for granted. If I am unthankful, it's impossible to truly rejoice, I believe. If this was just a thought, I'm not sure if it really makes sense or not, but I can either be thankfully rejoicing or I'll likely be thanklessly complaining. I don't know. A lot of times if I'm not thankful, what am I doing? So then I would like to turn to look at an example of someone that suffered and was facing tribulation and they rejoiced. And that is about Paul and Silas in Acts 16, 22 to 34. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them to this, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So, Paul and Silas, if we would experience what they did there, I think it would be a challenge to sing. But yet, that's what they did, and it changed things. I wonder if the doors would have opened if they would not have done that. And also, would the jailer have been converted? All these things, God had a purpose here that Paul and Silas likely didn't know, but they were praising God even in those circumstances, and it changed things. It just, God had a purpose to where this, even maybe just to convert the jailer, we don't know, but it's something to think about. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a future and a hope. I looked up the word end there. Jeremiah 29:11. There are so many verses that speak about being joyful, and most of them point out that it's because we are His. There's a much deeper reason than just having a smile on my face during difficult times. We trust, believe, and have faith that He will fulfill His purpose in our lives. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 97:12 is, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Being joyful, or joy, is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. If one of these is missing, I think it's safe to say that the others will lack. as I was looking up the word joyful and joy, I found something interesting here. It says, studies show that joyful people have less risk of having a heart attack, maintain a healthier blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, and less stress. So, and then I have a quote from Charles Spurgeon here. Believers are not dependent upon circumstances. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered for them by their Lord. I'll read it again here. Believers are not dependent upon circumstances. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered for them by their Lord. I feel like if there's one person here that needs this, it's me. And I've been blessed with studying this, and I feel like God is talking to me here, myself, first of all. So if I've said anything that doesn't line up with God's word, please correct it. I have one more verse in Psalms 32:11. It's also talking about rejoicing, and I want to just close with that. It's Psalms 32:11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God bless you.